Shalom. This is Billy Brim and the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast coming to you today from Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks. I'm really excited about something that's coming up, a meeting. It's in Osage Beach, Missouri at Walk on the Water Faith Church. Pastors there are Dr. Larry and Loretta Ollison. And we're actually doing a school of eschatology there, March 17th through 20th, and we're going to preach at the church on the 16th. But my subject there is what's so exciting, because I know for sure that the Lord told me what to speak on. The book of Ephesians and the glorious church. I was contemplating maybe talking about Daniel, Jeremiah, but folks, we're right to the end here. And as much as we watch Bible prophecy in the Jews and the nations, something's got to happen in the church here. And it's got to become what God calls the glorious church. So we're going to look at the book of Ephesians and the glorious church and the glory of God and its place in Bible history and Bible prophecy. And so preparing for that, I've been reading a book by T. Austin Sparks. Now, T. Austin Sparks was born in England, 1888. He died in 1971. He ministered around the world, but mostly his ministry was in England and Scotland. He wrote over 100 books, and he's known as a very spiritual man, with divine truths such as the centrality of Christ and the inward application of the cross. So I was reading one of his books, The City Which Hath Foundations, because it's talking about heavenly Jerusalem, and he likens heavenly Jerusalem to the church. The Bible says that Jerusalem, which is above, is the mother of us all, and it is free. And so in reading his book, I really was taken by these words. Listen, this is from the introduction on page 15. The God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham, Acts 7:2. It was Stephen who said this in his, remember his sermon before when he was stoned. The God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham. Now back to T. Austin Sparks. That is heavenly vision. In the New Testament, we should call it a divine revelation, God revealing himself. What is the church? It is the place in which God is revealed, the place of heavenly vision. The church is the embodiment of the revelation of God in Christ. The church is the place in which there abides the living unveiling of God. And just as soon as something claiming to be the church ceases to be the place in which there is any living unveiling of God, it ceases to be what God calls the church. And when it fails in these divine features, God withdraws. It may go on, but God withdraws. When Jerusalem ceased to be the place of the revelation of God to the nations, then God withdrew. The purpose of the church in God's mind is that it should be the sphere of the abiding and continuous unveiling of God, the God of glory appearing. See the first three chapters of Revelation. It is a grand thing to belong to that church and to know that church. Do we know what it is to be where God is showing himself, making himself known, where constantly, again and again, the God of glory is appearing? Are you able to say that from week to week in the local assembly to which you belong, the God of glory is appearing? So often our hearts have warmed in the realization that the Lord is showing himself to us. That feature, which was foundational to the life of Abraham, is also foundational to Jerusalem, the earthly Jerusalem and the heavenly Jerusalem. It is a governing law of the church, the place of God's revealing. And so I am reading to you these weeks from a book called They Told Me Their Stories, which tells to us about the revealing of God and his glory in the outpouring at Azusa Street, 1906, and for 3 years, 3.5 years. I'm reading to you a book that was published at the 100th anniversary of that outpouring, and it was written by Brother Tommy Welchel. He is the storyteller, and he lived with people who in the 1960s told them their stories over and over again, at a special ministry place called Pisgah. He would go and sit at the feet of these saints over and over for 6 years, and they would tell him the stories of what it was like at Azusa Street. They were young at Azusa Street. They were older when Brother Tommy talked to them, but they remembered their stories. And so, back to our reading, they told me their stories. Page 61. Mother, behold thy son. Meet Brother Riggs and Mom. Azusa ages 12 and 35. We have talked about how God used youth and young adults to manifest many of his miracles. In chapter after chapter, we find kids as young as 12 years old being used of God in a mighty way. What we haven't talked about are the parents of these children, how they felt and what they experienced as their children were so involved in the Azusa experience. This chapter takes a brief detour as we meet not only Ralph Riggs, but also his mother. The detour is that we're going to the mother rather than the ones that were the young people. I met Mother Riggs at Pisgah in 1960. I must confess that Mother Riggs made the best chocolate chip cookies, bar none, and she made them big and round. When she was at Azusa watching her son run around and be used of God, she was in her late 30s. By the time I met her, she was in her 90s. She told me that she mainly watched Ralphie run around, a nickname that wasn't Ralph's favorite. You see, this is Ralph, who later founded the Assemblies of God denomination. So when he came to see his mother, he probably didn't appreciate going back to the name Ralphie. Mother Riggs told me that Ralph and his best friend, C.W. Ward, didn't complain that they had to be at church. In fact, they preferred to be in church rather than anywhere else. Don't misunderstand, Mother Riggs wasn't just a spectator. She, too, was actively involved in healings and miracles and spent much of her time with Sister Carney. We've told you about her before, and you can get the book and see who she was. Although she mainly participated with others, God also used her when she was by herself. Mother Riggs had bright, beady eyes that would just glow as she started talking about Azusa, and they glowed as she told her story. She told me of her experience with about a dozen elderly people who reminded her of her parents. They were all brought to the meetings in wheelchairs and didn't have any major deformities or diseases. They were just old and feeble. She learned well from Sister Carney about expecting miracles, and if anybody in a wheelchair needed to be ministered to, she would put the footrests up before she prayed for the person. Immediately after the prayer, these frail old people got up, hooked their arms together, and began to dance. Sister Riggs was so thrilled to see old people up dancing and worshiping the Lord that she joined right in. She told me that she also prayed for a man because he couldn't put any weight on his ankle due to pain. Sister Riggs asked him, "Did you come to be healed?" He told her, "Well, everybody is getting healed here, they tell me. They just come and they get healed, and I want my ankle healed." She laid hands on his head and prayed for him. Within moments, the ankle that had been twisted popped and was healed. He stood up and began to dance and shout, and Mother Riggs just marveled at the miracle. Like all the others, Mother Riggs loved the Shekinah glory. She told me that the main thing she missed was the power of the mist or cloud as it glowed. She was convinced that the glory they experienced was a part of heaven, and she was walking in it, living in it, and breathing in it. She was also convinced that the abundance of miracles was happening because of the Shekinah glory and the presence of God in the meetings. I loved her stories, and I loved the fact that she not only supported her son, but she was right there with him as he enjoyed being used by God. On occasion, Ralph Riggs would stop by Pisgah to visit with his mom. During four of these visits, I had the honor of spending time with him. As mentioned earlier in this book, Ralph Riggs and C.W. Ward founded the Assemblies of God. Even though I knew he had stories in abundance about the Assemblies of God, I wanted to know about Azusa and his teenage years there. Brother Riggs told me that he appreciated the fact that he wasn't just a spectator watching older people do miracles. God also used him to do them. He was given the liberty to go to anyone he wanted to and pray for them. And to his astonishment, they all got healed. He worked with his best friend, C.W. Ward, who was 2 years his senior. Riggs was 12 at the beginning and Ward 14. Riggs noticed that each of them had six or more miracles or healings every night. When it came to miracles, they weren't a team. It was every man for himself. I asked Brother Riggs about the kids he hung around with at Azusa. He told me that Sister Carney was his favorite. He commented, "You kind of did what she told you to do. No one appointed her to be in charge. She just was a natural leader." Riggs also told me he loved to talk to and play with Brother Anderson, and of course, there was Brother Ward, his best friend. When I asked Brother Riggs about his most memorable miracles, he shared a few of his many, many experiences. His biggest miracle was this big, gawky guy in his early 20s who stood over 6 feet 5 inches tall and weighed over 250 pounds. He came into the meeting with alcohol on his breath, slurring his words and reeking of stale alcohol. Riggs felt a voice inside of him saying, "Pray for him." Finally, Brother Riggs went over to the man, realized that not only had he been drinking, but he was blind. Somewhat stunned, Riggs looked at him and said, "You can't see, can you?" The man said, "No, that's what I came for." Riggs was somewhat more compassionate, prayed for him, and he was instantly healed. Not only were his eyes healed, even the stench of alcohol was gone. The man just sat for a while crying and sobbing and finally said, "Well, it's true, it's true, I'm healed." Here was a homeless, blind alcoholic restored through the miraculous power of God, who later in life was used of God to preach revivals and establish many Pentecostal churches and later on Assembly of God churches across Midwestern U.S. Riggs noted that he had the privilege of visiting many of these churches in his travels with the Assemblies of God. Imagine, he preached in the churches founded by that blind man who came to Azusa drunk. Why? Because God revealed himself at Azusa. It's time now, folks, for God to reveal himself in the glorious church. We're going to be talking about that at our School of Eschatology, March 17 through 20 in Osage Beach, Missouri. We are asking you to register, not charging you for registration, but we want to know that you're coming. We can seat about 500 people. 1-800-972-3447 is the number to call. Call 1-800-972-3447 to register. We'd like to know that you're coming. We'll have a little bit, some things prepared for you. You can get a certificate for a $25 charge, but it'll be a wonderful study as we look at the glory of God in the book of Ephesians, the whole Bible, and the glorious church. Now, we're offering to you this week the book that I'm reading, They Told Me Their Stories, by Tommy Welcha. And that's $10. The natural, normal price is $13. We are also offering Brother Hagin's book on tongues. This is a new book, but oh, it has so much valuable information that's taken from early days, his teaching, right on up till he left earth, on the tongues, the power of tongues. Call 1-800-972 to order. This is Billy Brim saying shalom from Branson, Missouri.